Good morning to each and every one of you. It's lovely to see you here on this our all-age family service. I'd like to start with just two verses from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendour of holiness. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we gather together to give you our heartfelt praise and worship. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You are the creator of all things, and in you we find the source of life itself. Fill us with the joy of your presence, causing us to overflow with thanksgiving and praise. You, Lord, are good. And your love goes on forever. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. Accept our praise, we pray. May this place be filled with your glory as we honour and worship you. Our God is indeed an awesome God, and I certainly don't take a seat. I couldn't stand here this morning unless God was an awesome God, unless he equipped me with the power of his Holy Spirit. So I'm standing here this morning and I acknowledge that God is my strength and power. Apart from him, I'm very weak. I wholeheartedly believe that God enables us to know his power at work in our minds and bodies and our spirits. He feeds us mentally, physically, and spiritually. We know that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that we may all be equipped for every good work. God makes provision for our physical needs too. The very air we breathe is a wonderful gift from God. We have the sun and moon to mark the days and nights, and the nights are the time when we sleep. And young people, that's when you need most sleep. I used to say to my children, you need to go to bed early. That's when you do most of your growing. So if you want to grow, get the sleep that you're told to have, because that's so necessary to have sufficient sleep. Those of us that don't sleep so well know what it's like not to have sleep, and we feel weary and tired and not ourselves. So we need day and night. God provides an absolute abundance of food in our country. We have so much choice and we can choose. We're all very different what we like and the meals that we have, and we have freedom to choose what we eat. We have here as church, and I think of the sense of community that we have as we're family together, supporting and helping one another. And we know that through the pandemic, that sense of community was so missed by so many people, Christian and non-Christian alike. It's had quite a knock-on effect, really. There's so much more I could say about God's provision, but can I ask you a question? How many of you can say that you leapt out of bed this morning without any groans, aches or pains? Hands up those that actually got out of bed. Right, Mr. Moyer. I think as we get older, we all notice differences in our physical being, don't we? We don't stay the same. It's a natural progression through life. But I do believe that we can work as best we can to look after our bodies. Now, I'm going to be talking about my Keep Fit group in a little bit, how that runs and what we actually do. Now, I know that won't be for everyone. The same as I know that Gary doing his so many kilometre runs is definitely not for me. Exercise is finding something that meets your needs, that is something you actually enjoy. It should never be something that makes you miserable and thinking, oh my goodness, I must do this today, because it won't last. So I can remember as a child, my mum saying to me when I was very young, go outside and play. I said, well, we have to. And she said, yes, you need fresh air and you need the sunshine. And I know now with hindsight that that was so right, because in our country we sometimes lack the sun. And so we need to get that on our bodies to get vitamin D, which for young people, again, that's why my mum told me to go out. We need the vitamin D. Again, it's good for our calcium and our bone growth. So vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin. So fresh air for young people is excellent, and you have all that energy to run around as I did when I was young. Gradually, as we go through life, what we can do changes. And it all depends on what we've done through our lives, because later on I'll share how actually come 35 I wasn't fit at all. So I'm here today because God has shown me through his word different things. And there are many sorts of exercise. I could go on and list absolutely loads, but actually housework, gardening, that's all form of exercise. Hoovering, you're using your arms and walking about. Gardening, you're bending and stretching. I hope you're bending using your knees and not your backs, because that's not very good for you. You need to bend from the knees, and that will keep your thighs strong. So the scriptures actually tell us that outwardly we are weakening, but inwardly we're being transformed, and that's the important part. Outwardly we are changing, our bodies do age, but those of us that have trusted in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, one day we'll have our new bodies, free from all pain and all struggling. So that was a brief introduction to what I wanted to say, and now I'll just tell you a little bit about the Keep Fit group. I came here to Stoke Green before I was ever a Christian. I think my daughter would have been around about 4, so that's like 39 years ago now that I came to Keep Fit. And a lady called Eileen Reed ran the group. Some of you will remember Eileen. And I was really struck by her lively personality. She had a real zest for life. Later I realised she was a Christian, and later on I had that zest and zeal too, but it wasn't so then. I enjoyed the group immensely. And in 1992 or thereabouts, Paul, Eileen's husband, relocated with his work to France, and they moved lock, stock and barrel and went and lived there. And Eileen said to me, "I think you might be able to run Keep Fit, Sandy." And I thought, really? I was a fairly new Christian then, and I said to her, "Well, I'll give it a go." And here I am, over 30 years later, still running the Keep Fit group. Various ladies have come and gone over the years, but I have a core number of ladies who are very loyal and committed to the group. Due to space, I do limit numbers to 12. We have 11 at the moment, so if anybody's interested, they can come along and have a look at what we do and perhaps take up that one space that I have left. As we've aged together, I have altered the way we exercise and the things we do, because we have to respect our bodies. And so when Eileen did the group, she used to use skipping to warm up with. And I carried that on for some time until I suddenly realised there are about 3 of us skipping and the others skip a bit, talk a bit, skip a little bit, talk a bit. And I thought, they're really not warming up enough and they can damage their ligaments, tendons, muscles, all sorts of damage can come from exercising when our bodies are too cold. And so I changed that to an aerobic activity, which include dancey type movements, lots of jumping about and getting our heart and lungs really working so that we are warm enough to then do the exercise that followed. Initially, the ladies found it really hard. They couldn't get their heads around what I was doing. Unless they could see exactly what I was doing, they lost their way a bit. So we developed that, but they now enjoy it. It's a brain workout as well as a physical workout as well. So they really enjoy the aerobic warm-up at the beginning. We move on to work the whole body from our heads right down to our toes. So I do stretching, toning, and core strength exercises. And in the middle of all that, we do another bit of aerobics, either jogging round or cycling on our backs and working our tummy. So there's another aerobic bit in the middle. Because as you get older, too much aerobic will impact people. That I have some ladies that have got arthritis, which I'll share a bit about as they've shared why they enjoy Keep Fit. So we do that, and we have a time afterwards where we have coffee and a chat. So I get to know the ladies, and they really value that time together. And so I've got a couple of notes here and permission from a couple of ladies to share what they enjoy about Keep Fit. Madeline, well, I have been going to Sandy's Keep Fit for about 15 years now. 10 years ago, I had major surgery on my spine. Also, last year, surgery on my toes. I found going to Keep Fit was a great help for me. So that's helped Madeline to recover from 2 operations. And then Sheila wrote, and at first I said to Pete, I can't read this. So he said, yes, you can, because she's sharing your faith, how she sees you. So I thought, I am reading it. So I love coming to Sandy's Keep Fit class because I always feel so much better after exercising. Sandy is an inspirational leader because of her faith, her fitness, and her zest for life. So that's Eileen, impact of, you know, as Christians have a zest for life. Sandy has, no, we are a caring group who look out for each other, and I think that's so important in our group. We do look out for each other. We all exercise to our own abilities or limitations and feel comfortable to do so. I always feel that a healthy body helps to keep a healthy mind. Having a group that meets every week gives me the incentive to come. I know I will exercise so much at home on my own. And again, I changed how we run Keep Fit. At one time I went with all the other church activities just in school term times. And then I found SVH coming back after the summer break. Oh boy, was that hard work? And I thought, this is sick. We need to keep going. So I only break a week at Christmas and then for experience Easter and Christmas and then holiday. But other than that, we run all year round. The ladies are also very generous, a very generous group. When we started Keep Fit, they gave money to cover refreshments and we always gave the excess away to various charities over the years. Winter, when we have heating on, I would give Gary half of what the ladies gave through the months when we had heating on. And we would give to various charities such as the Air Ambulance and places like that, hospice, cancer research. We even gave it to Telecom years ago, Gary. They had some of our money. And then, post-pandemic, we were chatting, and I don't know how we got onto the finance of the church, because I think a lot of people think that churches get income from the government. And so I was able to say how our church operates and how finances work. And the ladies, with one voice, all said, well, we're so grateful that we can have these premises for exercise, and we're really pleased to have that. We want to, they doubled their offerings, all of them, and said we want the church to have all that is given. So the upshot of that was that over just 1 year, just with 10 ladies paying ladies to Keep Fit, they've given to the church £570. So that to me is giving, receiving. I give Keep Fit, and they receive Keep Fit, and they give back. And it's just a lovely ethos in the church. But I must admit, running Keep Fit, I found that to be a joy and a benefit to myself, both health-wise and financially as well, over the years. And I spent time seeking God and His will constantly as I've moved on with God. And one of the things I learned reading the Old Testament, we've talked a lot about joy over the last few weeks, and joy should be evident in our lives. But also, God wants us to celebrate life. The Old Testament is full of various festivals that God told His people to celebrate and enjoy, such as the Passover, Harvest, the Festival of Shelters. And I'm fascinated by things like that in the Old Testament, because I think we really should be celebrating God's goodness all the time. And at House Groups, we studied Nehemiah recently, and I particularly was struck by chapter 12. This was after the walls had been completed, despite opposition within and opposition without. And Nehemiah gathered together people to celebrate. So he gathered together musicians who were playing harps, cymbals and lyres. He had two large choirs assembled on that day. Men, women and children gathered and they celebrated. And what struck me is that the same could be heard far away. Incredible. Wow. Some celebration. So we are living in a year of God's favour. And we can know life and have it in all its fullness. That's what Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus tells us in John 15 that if we obey His commands, we will remain in His love and know His joy and delight in us, complete and overflowing. Jesus actually prayed that we'd have joy. John 17, verse 13, now I am coming to you. I say this while in the world, so that my joy may be made full and complete and perfect in them. Jesus wants to experience His delight. And as deacons, we were given a book on church to study, and we looked at a chapter of it at House Group last week. And again, I was struck by just words from this book about church life. And these words were written by the great preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he says this was underscored the need for a joyful church. And this is what he wrote. The greatest need of the hour is a revived and joyful church. Unhappy Christians are a poor recommendation for the faith. The exuberant joy of the early Christians was one of the most potent factors in the spread of Christianity. So we should be a people who are full of joy. So the second part, I'm sharing more testimony about how God has been at work in my life over the years concerning physical things. So in my early years, I was really quite fit. I belonged to the Quop Juniors Musical Theatre Group, so I did lots of different styles of dance. Ballet was my passion though, and I taught Quop feeder classes for a while as well. And I did a lot of gymnastics in my school days. I actually represented Suffolk at one point. And so I was reasonably fit. When I left the Quop Juniors, as you do when you get older, I had children, but I kept up the ballet side of things because I really enjoyed that. That was my favourite. But my teacher retired when I was in my mid-20s, so I thought, I just can't go to a new dance school with somebody that doesn't know me. So I gave that up, and I thought, to all intents and purposes, I was actually quite fit. So I became a Christian, and I was really totally ignorant of the Bible. I went to Sunday school as a child and church in my teens. I found the Bible to be a series of historical facts with no relevance in my day-to-day living. However, when the Holy Spirit began to work in my life, God gave me the amazing gift of faith, and things became a lot clearer, and the Bible, God's Word, actually began to change my thoughts and the way I acted. Now, it might surprise some of you to know that I was, in those days, a heavy smoker. I had a 30-a-day habit. And before my baptism, I actually received training concerning the basic principles of discipleship. One topic was giving, both of time, talents, and money. I remember thinking, how on earth am I going to give money? I had 7 at home, and 5 of those were like grown men, 2 were mid-teens, the other 3 were all at work, so they had massive appetites. And I thought I'd done really well if at the end of the week I had 50 pence in my purse. But I worked out actually that I was spending 20% of my food budget on cigarettes. 20%, it was £13.50 a week then. They were £1.30 a packet. My advice to anybody that's thinking of doing that while they're young, please don't. It is a terrible addiction, and I was totally addicted. And I found out how unhealthy I was when Claire came along. By the time she was 4, I went to nursery. The boys, I had loads of washing, lots of housework. It was massive, looking after 5 children. So Pete, when she started nursery, got me a bike to save me the time of walking up to Hillside School to get her. And I can remember I'd been in 30s then. So I biked up to the school and I got off my bike and my heart, I thought, I'm going to have a heart attack. It was coming, boom, boom, boom. It felt like it was going to jump out of my ribs. And my legs, I got off and they just whoop. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I am not fit at all. And that's how I came to come into the Keep Fit group and began to build my fitness levels again. Anyway, as I said, I worked out that I gave 20% my money to cigarettes. But God was at work. I wasn't ready to quit then. However, 2 verses of scripture made a massive impact as I memorised them. The first comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And what a price, the death of God's only Son, to give me the freedom and salvation. You were brought at a price, therefore honour God with your body. And that kind of thought, it's not just my spirit, it's all of me that God wants, my body as well. The second verse came from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I felt at that time that I was dishonouring God by abusing my body, but still, I wasn't able to quit. Finally, I read this verse from Revelation 21, verse 11. This follows the words of Jesus, who said in verse 7, I am coming soon. Happy are those who obey the prophetic words in this book. Verse 11 says, whoever is evil must go on doing evil, and whoever is filthy must go on being filthy. Whoever is good must go on doing good, and whoever is holy must go on being holy. Now, there it makes no reference whatsoever to smoking, as none of the Bible does, because they weren't about then. But at that moment, I felt filthy inside. And at that time, I can remember singing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And I got so I couldn't sing that chorus, because I thought I was being really, really willful. And I was saying to the Lord, I don't want to remain filthy. I knew I couldn't do it on my own at that time, because I was still a fairly new Christian. So I used to meet with Chris Goodson regularly every Wednesday, and I said to her, please, Chris, will you please pray that I can overcome this terrible addiction to nicotine? It's ruining my health. And so Chris would come, and every Wednesday I'd say how I was getting on, whether I'd sort of lapsed or gone up or down, how I was doing. And Chris regularly prayed for me. And the upshot of that was, it took me 4 months. But 4 months later, I was totally free of addiction. And I knew at that point that God had really helped me overcome that. And it was affirmation of his abiding presence. Because I knew I couldn't have done it on my own. I'd tried previously, but never had any strength to do it. I further learned from scriptures that God not only provides spiritual food, but supplies nourishment. I'm fascinated, again, by the Old Testament with all the dietary laws that people had. Although I do eat what I like with thanksgiving, because that's what Paul says. Eat everything we eat with thanksgiving. And so to say grace and thank God is a wonderful thing as a Christian, to give thanks for the food, which Pete always does at meal times. There's some other wonderful advice I found as I went along with various issues. Proverbs, it's got lots of pithy sayings, and one of them I have, it's quite comical as well in places. I love the one that says, I quote it to Pete, a nagging wife is like rain dripping on a tin roof. So Proverbs is full of pithy sayings and wisdom. But I hold on to these ones. Chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Chapter 14, verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Chapter 15 and verse 30 says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Chapter 18, verse 14, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Now, I'll go on with my story. In 2006, I began to get various symptoms and wasn't feeling that well, but I'm stubborn. I don't do doctors. I hadn't been to the doctor since I had given birth to Claire. It was a long, long time. But a certain person just popped out, kept on at me, saying, Sandy, you're ill. Go to the doctor. So I kept saying, no, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm fine. So this person one day had taken his dear wife, Penny, to Papworth for her checkup. We all know how much Arthur loved his wife Penny, but on the way back from Papworth, he pulled into a lay-by on the A14 with his wife and said, Sandy, have you made that appointment at the doctor's? You are really ill. And at that point, I thought, Lord, you're speaking to me through this man who's persistent, because I am rebellious and I am stubborn. And so I thought, I can't have Arthur worrying about me and Penny worrying about me. They have enough worries of their own. So I went to the doctor's. At first, they were looking at rheumatoid arthritis. And I can remember thinking, oh no. I said to Di, I didn't want to be diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis because that impacts what you can do physically, because it deforms joints and all sorts of things. And I can remember being told when I got lupus, yes, I've got lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. That made Di laugh. Anyway, I had a good old chat with my doctor. He was lovely. He was my consultant. He was one of these brainy people that didn't have patient relationships, so he didn't say anything. He didn't tell me anything, just I've got systemic lupus. But I sat down with Dr. Reedy at the time, and he said, well, Mrs. Patisse, he says, you haven't got much left in your body that's not been damaged, but you have got your muscles, so you must keep those built up. Otherwise, you will end up in a wheelchair. And I came home and I thought, Lord, I'm not going in a wheelchair. And so I have worked at keeping fit with long walks, my exercise is still, and I've certainly got fit. And the truth is, I haven't had an actual major lupus flare-up since 2007. So this positive attitude that God gives us, grateful hearts that God gives us, a love for fresh air that God gives us. I mean, green spaces have been very much in the news, haven't they, for people that have suffered in the pandemic. To get out in green spaces, they make you feel good, give you those endorphins that keep you feeling buoyant and expectant in hope. So I've been free of lupus flare-ups for the last 16 and a half years and enjoying the life God has blessed me with. God has given me holistic healing, mind, body and spirit. Other health issues have risen since then, and as a family, we have suffered loss. But Pete and I can both say that through every situation and every trial, his love has enfolded us, particularly through the fellowship here. His grace and mercy have been poured out upon us. His gift of his Holy Spirit continues to guide us and keep us.